We gather here this morning with celebrating Father's Day, a day that all us men are, for one day we get the remote control, we eat potato chips, a second helping, not telling us how bad it is on our hearts, all kind of stuff we can do today. But you know, there are some things that we do as men, things that men are instructed to do by God, that sometimes it's hard to do. We are called to be leaders of our household. Amen? We are called. If you're as a man, but also as a father, you are called to be the leader of your household. That's a great responsibility we have. You know, we have a lot of responsibility at times, it seems like. Take out the garbage. It's the kids' messes, but we take it out anyway. We mow the grass. Well, the kids play in the yard, but we mow it anyway. A lot of things that we do. And it can cause our hands to become callous at times. You know, they get hard. But we have an option. We can put on a pair of gloves. I know some people say, I don't put on a pair of gloves. It makes you a sissy if you wear gloves. Have you heard people say, I don't wear gloves. I ain't no sissy. But we can put on a pair of gloves. And I do the same work, the same things I'm called to do as a father. Same thing that God laid upon my heart. I do the same thing, but not to be callous. Not to, my hand can still be soft, huh, Daryl? Yeah, we laugh at times, we think, well, man, we have to be hard, macho, callous all the time. But we have gloves that are available to us to put on to keep our hands soft. We do the same job, the same thing will get done, except our hands won't be callous. See, some people judge men by how many calluses they have on their hands. But a man should be judged by not what is on his hands, but what he put his hands on. Don't judge a man what's on his hands, but judge a man by what he put his hands on. Like a father, there are things that we need to do. Things that we're in charge of. Things that are our responsibility. But that doesn't mean that we have to be calloused when we do that. If we would just put on the love of God on our lives and instruct and love our children accordingly, we do the same job that we're called to do. But not just be callous about it. Sometimes we're taught to be a dad that you have to be macho. You got to have 18 different trophies in your den when you're back in the good old glory days of playing baseball and basketball and your football star and all that kind of stuff. They look for the golden gloves hanging from your wall. All kind of things that we think you have to do in order to be a father. To be a father, just need to love our children. Love our children is the number one thing. The great example we have for a father is our God. I look toward my father at times for guidance and wisdom when he was with me. I look at him today and I'm blessed with the memories I have with him. But my dad wasn't perfect. But my Father in heaven is perfect. And we just take a moment and we look in John 14:9. And Jesus tells us, he says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Okay, so you want what God looks like, our Heavenly Father? Look at Jesus. An important thing that he did one day, and in one scripture, it's the shortest scripture in the Bible. First one I ever learned. John 11:35. And it says, Jesus wept. Just remember, if you're here today, you say, I just can't remember Bible verses. John 11:35, Jesus wept. See, our Father in heaven, if he has emotions and can express them, so can we as men, as fathers. Being hard doesn't make us a good father. Keeping our feelings to ourselves do not make us a man. Don't be afraid to embrace your children. Don't be afraid to tell them that you love them, that you care for them. Don't be afraid to let them see you cry. I believe too many times we are raised with the expectation to be a father as we grow up is to think we have to be hard, we got to be callous, we can't smile, we don't say we love you. And we grow up with that. And then, or we don't, men, we don't cry, do we? We cry so much on the inside at times. Tears are a way to vent. A lot of times we don't know what to do. But we look toward our Heavenly Father, for example. And Jesus wept. He had emotions. He cared. And we do the same. What a great model we have to look after is God. We're going to look at our Father this morning. We looked at many times. We looked at His Son a lot. Today we're going to compare the two together. And that you will find in Luke chapter 15. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to turn there. If not, I'm going to read it to us. This is a parable, and we call him the prodigal son. And we share that a lot from time to time. And what an awesome example of a family. And Jesus is speaking. And he says, a certain man had two sons. Verse 11. I'm sorry, I didn't say that. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of my estate that falls to me. And he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey to a distant country. He packed up and took off. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be in need. And he went and attached himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. So this boy went from having everything, hanging out with dad was rich, took all the inheritance, he went to town and chased wild women and wild song, blew it all. Now he has to work. He finds himself feeding swine, pigs, which is at that time one of the lowest jobs he had. And he was longing, he said, to fill his stomach with just a pod that the swine were eating. And no one was giving anything to him. See, in his father's house, he had everything he needed. Out there, away from his father's house, people didn't care about him. They'd rather feed their pigs over you. This poor feller. But when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And he got up and he came to his father. But while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to be merry. But now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. This is the other son that got his half of the inheritance also. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what was going on in the house. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he was received him back safe and sound. But the brother became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began entreating him. But he answered and said to him, Father, look, for many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours, and you have never given me a kid, that I might be merry with my friends. But when his sons of yours came, who has devoured your wealth of harlots, you killed the fattened calf for him. And the father said to him, my child, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to be merry and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and had been found. The last part there, one brother was upset because the other brother came home. It shows me how much jealousy we have in families at times. How much jealousy that takes place in between siblings. You know, if they would look at each other and look toward the father and love that he shared for both of them, they'd be rejoicing also. But many times, jealousy divides a family. And for the father, there he was, rejoicing that his son was alive, came back to live with them. Now the other son, Satan is trying to kill the other son now. He's trying to separate the other son from the father because of jealousy. Wow. Think for a moment. Of everything the other son inherited, it was still his. Okay? But it means nothing the next day or that evening if he entered to eternity. Sometimes we allow our eyes to get fixed so much on the things of this world that we can't enjoy what we have. We spend so much time trying to protect what we have that we forget to share it with those around us. To be merry, to rejoice. See, the father was a good father. You notice he divided up equally with his two sons. Right? Okay, this is your half. He didn't go 3/4 and 1/4. Equally. So, we see right now the one son went and blew it all. But the other son still had all his. Okay? So, when the father received him back into the household, he was willing to take what he had and share it with the son again. He was willing to break his bread in half and give it to the son, share it from the glass of water. He was willing because his son was alive again. He was separated, but now back home again. We see that he kept a watch for his son to come home. He kept a watch out for him. So he didn't put the love for his son over the love of money. He could have been mad not wanting him around because of what he did, but rejoiced when he came home. It appears somewhere along the line that the father kept an eye out on the son. Somewhere along the line. Because listen, if I got $1 million and Fred, you're my son, I give you half of that. The other half to my other son. Hey, go ahead, man. That's what you wanted. Okay? Why would I be watching out for you? You got a maid now. You got what you wanted? No. But somewhere, yes. Number one, you're still my son. Still care for you. But somewhere down the line, that father must have known that the son was getting in trouble. He must have heard that he'd outrun the bars. Blown the inheritance. The money that the father worked for all his life that he gave to his son is being blown on wild women and drink and everything else you can think of. Most of us get upset. How many relatives and neighbors said, I shouldn't have done that. You knew what Fred would do with it. Boy, you're just too stupid giving that to Fred anyway. Boy, I tell you what, I'd never let him back in my house again. People will tell you that. Didn't you work 40 years for that, Joe? 40 years you sweated and you gave that. And you gave it to your youngest son. Look what he's doing. My God, he's an embarrassment to the family. He was seen last night out with a prostitute. Uncle just known him. He's not part of my family no more. Or, we don't have any pig feeders in our family. No, we have no pig feeders. I'll tell you what. I come from a pure line. We feed calves and cows and goats. And pigs are the lowest thing on earth. I have one of my sons feed pigs. I had nothing to do with them. All this stuff could be coming to the father's ears. when he somehow he knew that the boy was getting in trouble. And what did he do? My, he kept looking for the boy. He was praying, God, bring him back to his senses. Oh, I love my boy. God, I know he's making some stupid mistakes. But God, I love him. Bring him home to me. And he just didn't pray. He kept looking. Where's he at? Where's he at? Yes, but he wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid around other people looking for his son, ready to receive him again. He didn't care what people said. That's my boy. He's welcome back here. Yes, he tried things on his own. Yes, he messed up big time. I taught him better than that. I raised him better than that. But he messed up. If you just get back home, I'll tell you what, we'll start over again. And one day, the boy, sitting there wishing that he had pods the pigs had to eat. So I'm going to go back home. I'm going to go back home and ask my dad if I can just be a hired hand. Look what he just did. That father had instilled in that son, above all the money, above all the riches, above everything he had, that he had love for him. He knew that he was welcome back into the father's home, even after all he did. But he had to get so low in life, they had no alternative. Maybe if someone pulled up that day, Brother Steve, and said, hey, get in the car, we'll go to McDonald's. Maybe he would not have came back that day. I can survive one more day. But the day came, finally, we had no other alternative. He started thinking straight again. I would imagine if you're laying in a pig pen, around all that filth, odor, and you're laying there thinking about everything you used to have in life, now you're here. Wow, I messed up. But my daddy told me, he said, I'll always love you, son. No matter what you do, I'm going to love you. That was enough to cause him to race back up out of that muck and go to the Father. And how blessed he was when he saw the Father looking for him, watching him. That means he put the boy above everything else. Daddy wasn't home checking the books. He said, I want my son back. I don't care what it's going to take. I want my son back. And he kept watching for the son, watching for the son. And the minute he saw, he started rejoicing. He went and grabbed the son. Took a ring, put it on his finger. Started celebrating. Do you return home to me? Oh, God bless us. That's an example today, guys, of your Heavenly Father, every one of us. You want an example of what being a father is? It's God Almighty. Many of us in here today, we have done the same thing. You know, we have. We have been born in sin. Look, Adam had it made. Everything they needed, he had it. But he blew it. He sinned. But God still loved him. Still loved mankind. He sent Jesus Christ to come and pay the debt for the sin. That way we can come back to the Father in heaven through Jesus Christ. And folks, many of us today, we're still lying in that pig pen. We're lying here thinking, man, how'd I get here? Or we're thinking, man, if there's a God in heaven, I wouldn't be laying here today. There is a God in heaven. He loves us and He's looking out for everyone right now to come back to Him. But just like the Son, He had to go back to the Father through the road that led to this place. We had to be on the right path, and that path was through Jesus Christ. You didn't see where the boy was headed back to the Father with three harlots and two bags of pot, did you? It didn't say he packed up all his whiskey and his wild living. Like, come on, guys, I got to follow him back. No. He repented from it, left it behind, and went back to the Father. And the Father embraced him. And we needed the same thing. We go to the Father and leave that stuff behind. Don't try to take that stuff into the house of God. Don't bring that stuff into your house that you established for the Lord. Amen? Yeah. Don't. You're only to destroy you again. Only destroy you again. Don't care how comfortable we might be around it. I can handle it this time, Steve. I can handle it this time. You can't. Not one of you here can handle sin. That's what it is. Too many times we invite it back into our life. I think this boy, when he came back to the Father, he had enough of that. That wild living got him one thing. Broke. And no one. They never said any of them came to his house. One that he was partying with. They never showed up the pig pen to feed him. Did it? Did they? No, we don't see that at all. They turned, as soon as they used everything he had, they turned his back on him. And so, you know, Satan does to us. He'll take us for a ride. He'll give us these thoughts. Ah, you're okay. You're all right. God changed. Sin isn't sin anymore. Everything, until he uses everything we have, and he lays us down. Goes on to the next person. What a father. What a father. Love. That's what God is with us today, folks. He's waiting for us to turn back to Him. If we're living in sin today, we're separated from Him. He loves us. He cares for us. The Father did not go down and drag the boy out of the pig pen. We don't see that at all. He knew he was there, but he didn't go drag him out. But he was there when the boy came to his senses. So if he would have drug him out of the pig pen, the boy would have crawled back in. No one's going to tell me what to do. Go. If I want to hang out in the pig pen, I'm going to do it. Even though inside you say, man, I want to go home. But sometimes that stinking, stupid pride raises up and up and separates us from family members. It causes callousness. And sometimes all we can say, hey, yes, I screwed up, forgive me. And start over again. We have to remember if something in our lives today is separating us from our children or our children from our parents. Remember, there's not one thing that you might be fighting over today in the family that you're going to take with you when you die. Oh, great-great-grandma Susan passed away. She told me I could have that little flower bowl that we ate cereal with back when I was a kid. My brother got in there and got it before I did. I'll never speak to him again. My God, that stuff happens all the time. If people fight over stuff in families. Greed! Well, I had a right to it. Maybe he did have a right to it, but he didn't get it. You don't need it anyway in heaven. God is supplying you need. Don't let it separate. The love of money is the root of all evil. Sometimes we think it's a dollar bill. But love of money is material things. Idolatry, all that stuff, man. It'll get a hold of you. Oh, man. I've seen families separated for years over stupid stuff. Stupid birthday invitations separated my mother and her sister for 15 years. Only got back together 6 months before my aunt died of cancer. You didn't call me? Yes, I did. Yeah, 15 years. That's sad, but actually today, what's separating you today from your Heavenly Father? What is that one stupid thing that you want to hang on to? You don't want to give up. What is that one thing in your life today you're saying, yeah, I'm going to go to hell with this? What is it? What sin is you embracing today that says, well, I love all this, I love the fellowship and stuff, but I'm going to go to hell. I'm going to keep my hand. I'm not going to give this sin up. I'm going to enjoy life here. I'm going to go to hell and enjoy. First, we have to realize that way. The road to heaven is narrow. It's almost Satan lied to you. We see it every day on the news. They're trying to get that road wider and wider and wider. That road is narrow. And he tells us, those who practice such things, shall not enter the kingdom of God. You have sin in your life. You know it's in your life. and you're doing it, you're practicing it. Like you say, like lawyer, you practice law. Why? Because it's never complete. Law always changes, you always learn more. Sin is never done. You're practicing sin. Why? Because it's going to grow more and more. What is that one thing in your life that Satan's convinced you? Well, God won't send you to hell for that. Well, He won't send you to hell. You're choosing to go. Are you still lying, Daryl? I always pick on this man. I love you, man. I don't care if you're still lying. If you're a liar, you're headed to hell. God don't want that. He doesn't. You cheating? You stealing from people? If that's how you make your living, that's what you do, you're practicing thievery. No. You're fornicating? Are you living together, husband and wife, not married? That's fornicating. I don't care what the laws are. I don't care how things have changed over 20 years. You're embracing, you're practicing sin, and you're not seeing the kingdom of God. Don't let no one convince you that things have changed. It has not. Homosexuality is still a sin. Don't care what the government passes. But it's the same sin as adultery. Or lying or stealing. It's a sin that can be forgiven. It's a sin that God gave you strength to overcome. Amen?
Amen.
But don't embrace it. In this country itself, we lay down so much, we don't fight for anything anymore. You know, we went from caring from people in California to Virginia and Alaska to Texas. We should care for people. But as things start changing, we get them. And now we are isolated almost just to maybe 3 or 4 people in our lives, our neighbors. If I just hang on to my peace, I know California's drying up, Texas is flooding. Oh my gosh, and the shooting's here. But we're okay here, Jack. Come on over tonight, buddy. We'll play checkers. As long as you and I are okay, we'll hang on to that. And man, we can't do that. We got brothers and sisters hurting. We have God's creation tormented. We have to look beyond ourselves. As a Christian, our name is registered in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our eyes need to be set on what we're going to. Don't keep it set on what we have. Time and time again on the news, you see what people have hoarded all their lives and built. That quick is gone. And all they have left, each other, and the faith they have in our God. Don't let Satan distort things in your life. This morning, God is looking down that road again. He's looking down the road. He's looking for His children that have been separated from Him. Are you one of them this morning? Are you separated from God because of sin? Just like the father and the prodigal son, He wants to clean you up. He wants to invite you back into His house. He wants to put a ring on your finger. But you have to come to Him. He's the one that has to clean us up. That's through the blood of Jesus Christ. God is here today. The Spirit of living God is pouring upon our hearts saying, come to me this morning. Come to me this Father's Day. Allow me to be the true Father I want to be in your life. To come down to this altar this morning and ask God to forgive you your sins. To invite Him into your life to come. To clothe you in that cloth of righteousness. Allow Him to bring you to His house. He's calling you. Why? Because He loves you. He cares for you. The sin that you embrace and you have in your life, it hurts Him to see that. But He still loves you. Every one of us in here have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us in here at one time or another, we had a death sentence. Separated from God now and for eternity. For many of us, we've come and accept that forgiveness. We allow Jesus Christ to be our Savior and Lord. Now He's calling you today. You're not here by mistake today. Your ears are open the day they hear the true calling of God. He never said if you sat in the same seat in the same pew for 50 years that you're going to get to heaven. So if we're sitting here today being self-righteous, oh, this preacher, I've been in church since I was 4 years old. I'm glad you have been. But is Jesus Christ your Savior and Lord? Have you repented from your sins? Or do we sit around and gossip about everybody? Are we playing games? Are we saying, oh, I'm a Christian, but we've never even asked Christ into our life? Do we think, well, Daryl, you know, I ain't perfect, but I ain't like that Joe Kirker. Do we judge ourselves by one another? Judge ourselves with that cross. Jesus died for your sin. Whether you want to accept that forgiveness or not, that's up to you. If you choose to pay the wages of your own sin, if you choose that I ain't going down. I'll go to hell or eternity and pay for my own sins. If you want to do that, you have the right to do that, but why would you want to? You've been lied to by Satan. When he said, oh, this is normal anymore. Or, hey, you got next week. Next week you can go down that altar and get born again. I can show you obituary after obituary. They don't have next week. You understand that? They thought they had the same thing, but they don't have it no more. And how God's heart would break to know that they heard the invitation, they refused to receive it. Come to me, he says. Come home to your Father today. Receive His forgiveness. Allow Him to be your Savior and your Lord today. Let there be rejoicing in heaven. If you're here today and right now, you know that Holy Spirit is touching your heart. You know that you want this, you need this. This altar, come down. Come down and ask God to forgive your sins and Christ to come into your life. This might be the only day you have it. Have the opportunity. God loves you and He cares for you. Father, we just seek You this morning, God. We just thank You, Lord, that You are there looking down that lane of our life. God, that when we turn to You, Father, we found forgiveness through You. Jesus, I thank You that You died on the cross for me. I thank You that You forgive me each time that I fail. When I get back up again, as I seek You, You forgive me my sins, and I thank You for that. And Father, I thank You today for God, for our earthly fathers. God, even though they're not perfect, some may have failed what we call to be a perfect father. For some of us this morning, God, we're yielding our hearts saying, God, I want to forgive the trespasses of my earthly father. I want to forgive for what he had done or did not do. And God, I look toward You this morning. That You are my Father. You're my Heavenly Father. And I just thank You this morning for all the love You share with us. I thank You for forgiving me when I mess up. I thank You for embracing me when I'm sad. And I thank You for rejoicing with me when I'm happy. Thank You for loving us. And thank You for caring for us. And Lord, there'd be one in this room this morning that's not ready for the homecoming. There's one in this room right now, Father, that's still being deceived. God, I just pray that You'll just minister these words to them in the weeks to come. And Lord, if they have any questions about this beautiful, this beautiful thing called salvation, God, that they would come and ask. They would make a wise choice, God. And Lord, may Your hand be upon each father gathered here this morning and the sound of my voice here on the internet. God, may You strengthen them today. May some of them are carrying burdens that I really screwed up with a dad. But God, may they seek You this morning. God, forgive us for the things we messed up. God, may we strengthen the day to continue the Father with You in our life. And if we need to make amends, God, may we make amends. May we continue to share, God, the love that we receive from You with our children. And may our children continue to share the love that they receive from You with us. May not one thing come in to separate us from the family. We want to thank you, God, for all your caring and all your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God is an awesome God. He's not there to smite us. He doesn't want to destroy us. He wants to love us. Remember that. He's an awesome God. Amen. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. And may he turn his head toward you and grant you peace. May his grace overwhelm you this week. May you walk in his love. May the Holy Spirit strengthen you. And may that fall upon your household and upon your children's children. May they feel the love of their Father here on earth and the Father in heaven. And may God always be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please, you're welcome to stay for dinner. And then, so.
I am blessed. Are you blessed? I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning,
yes, we're blessed then.
Or lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed.
Have a great week, guys.
Amen.
See you in heaven, or see you next Sunday.
Amen.